Access number 30,001, Mr. Peter Est, Reel 25. Now, we're talking about when you're with the Advanced Flying Course, number 210 Advanced Flying School at Tarrant Russian. You were there from June to a couple of months, 1953.
Yes.
We're talking about the Meteor. But the Meteor was only the first of the aircraft you were on, wasn't it? Because did you fly anything else there other than the Meteor, or is that it?
No.
So what? It's just getting used to jets, this course, isn't it?
Yes, this
did
is.
Did you have to pass any tests, or was that it? I
mean, let me have a look. See what exercises we did. Yeah, we had head checks through. I didn't do an awful lot of flying there. Just felt the got in the feeling of the jet aircraft.
So the next thing is in June 53. You
yes.
Go to number 229 Operation Conversion Unit.
That's right. At
Chibna,
in Devon.
Now, what are you doing there?
Learning to fly the Vampire and doing the operational flying that you would do when you get to a squadron.
Now, let's start with the Vampire then. What did you think of the Vampire? Compare it to the Meteor press, but also just generally, because it's quite a famous aircraft.
The Vampire was a good aircraft. I flew the Mark T-11, which was the training one, first, and then the Vampire 5. And
what was the trainer like? That's
the T-11. It's a two-seater, side by side.
Not behind each other, then?
No, with the T-11, it was a side by side. And just good training aircraft, really.
Do these trainers, I mean, with that one, does it actually have the characteristics that the single-seater has?
Yes.
Or is it sort of a compromise?
Well, they had to compromise in some ways. It was a good aeroplane.
Now, what about the Vampire itself? I don't know which one you were in.
The Mark V.
Mark V.
Yeah.
Now what were its characteristics as an aircraft, as a fighter aircraft?
It was very manoeuvrable, had good performance, and it was about the best Vampire flying at that time, because when I eventually joined the Vampire squadron in Germany, they had the Mark V's, so I was... See, the squadrons in Germany had the Mark V's, and we were using them at the training unit. So it was a good standard aircraft in used in the squadrons.
Now, what about the operational training? I wondered how things had changed, because you were quite a long way away from your operational flying. You'd done a lot of operational flying.
Yes.
But it was now nearly 10 years before.
Yes.
It was 1944, I think, back in the 44.
Yes.
And this is now back in the 53. Now,
it's the mid 53.
What operational training did they give you? What types of things?
Well, here we are. I first of all had the dual checks on the T-11, the twin, and then the solo on type, and then after that we were doing height climbs up to 30,000 feet, Mach runs, maximum speed, and aerobatics. Then I did some low flying, close formation with other aircraft. And then low flying, aerobatics, close formation, battle formation, which was open. Close formation is tight formation. And then the battle formation, you know, you're probably flying 60 or 70 yards apart. I did a low level cross country. Then we did, we used the cine cameras for practice. And I did cine familiarisation, cine, and tracking, ranging and tracking, instrument flying, on back on the T-11, instrument fly. And then we did quarter attacks, different types of attacks, on, and we had drogues towed by aircraft, and we used to do practice firing on them, air-to-air firing. We used to probably 3 or 4 aircraft. This is my woman.
Now, that's a pretty comprehensive training program you've been going through there.
Yes.
How difficult did you find it? Because what I'm thinking of is, it's not about, you are getting older.
Well, in 53, I was coming up for 33.
Which is quite old for an operational fighter pilot. Certainly when you were flying in France in 1940, you'd have thought someone of that age was old.
Yes.
See what I mean? I just wondered whether how you got on with the young man, or were the young man, were they all like yourself returning?
No, I got on fine, actually. I enjoy it. I suppose they thought they needed some more experienced people like me to become the flight commanders and squadron commanders of these fighter squadrons. it was a good course, and fortunate. It was in the summer months. It was in... June? Yeah, I think I went there in June. I'm not sure.
June to August.
So, and it was a lovely summer. And when we weren't flying, we used to. We're very close. Do you know Chivna at all? It's right near the coast, on the Devon coast. A lovely beach within easy distance. We used to go down to the beach and swim, and it was like a sort of summer holiday, and a bit of flying thrown in as well.
Last thing is, which did you prefer? I mean, they were both fighters, with the vampire or the meteor. I mean, you seem to, in the book, to prefer the vampire. But
yes,
what,
I think.
Why? What was better?
It just seemed to be more like the old Spitfire in many ways, with more. Very manoeuvrable, and it was a nice aeroplane to fly. And the Meteor was that much bigger, was rather not quite so manoeuvrable. I sort of got with the Vampire somehow, and I enjoyed it.
Was that a common preference, or did
I don't know. I would think it probably was, yes.
Now, what's your next posting then, or your first real operational post, you know?
Well, then, in September 53, I was posted to number 16 Squadron in Germany at a place called, they were based, their main base was Celle. Celle. But when I joined them, they were at a place called Butzweilerhof, which is near Cologne, which is about 250 miles away. The reason being that they only had one runway at Celle, and now they had these vampires, it wasn't really quite long enough, and they wanted to extend the runway. So having only the one runway, and no alternative but to close down while they did this work and move the squadron to another place. And that's why the squadron were at Butzweilerhof. And we were there until the end of October. So I joined the squadron in mid-September, and I went up checked in at Sella, and then I had to take a train down to Cologne and join the squadron at Butzweilerhof. And I was flying from Butzweilerhof for 6 weeks.
Now, what did you think this was? It's part of 83 group, was it?
Yes, yeah.
What were your first impressions? And of course, they were flying vampires.
Yes, well, it wasn't a very good airfield. It didn't have major runways. It had this, tracking, this metal sort of tracking. It was all right. It was coped all right. But it wasn't quite like a proper runway.
Now, what was the squadron like? How did it compare to what you were used to in a fighter squadron? I mean, this is... What sort of reception did they give you?
Oh, very good, very good. And within no time at all, in fact, when I first went there, I see here, I joined the squadron on the 4th, I was made a flight commander because of my experience. And I don't know what date it was. Anyway, I joined them on the 14th of September, and I was a flight commander between the 14th and the end of the month. I don't know exactly what date. I think I joined them as a flight commander. Anyway, there was not much time wasted in making me one, because, you know, I'm vastly more experienced than all the rest of them.
And what, had the role of flight commander changed at all?
No, it was similar to what it always been.
And you were made very welcome within the squadron.
Yeah.
Were they a friendly bunch?
Yes, they were.
And you had standout character. Who was the squadron commander there? The squadron leader?
A chap named Dickie de Burgh. He's a funny chap. We got on all right together, but he hadn't done much in the way of operational flying. And I'd done more. Far more than he'd done, but nevertheless, he had some funny ideas about running a squadron, which I didn't agree with particularly, but it didn't make a difference. You know, I wasn't there, he was the boss, and that was it. So,
you got on reasonably enough, though.
Yes, yeah. It was October, yes, and I was with the squadron. I was only with the squadron for about 2 months, I think, roughly. No, it's longer than that. No, that's not right. I know what's...
What sort of flying were you doing from Butzweilerhof? You know, your first flights with them. Were you sort of bedding down with the unit?
From Butzweilerhof? We were flying all round the... I'll tell you what I was doing there. We did battle flight. We had to do battle flight.
Now, what's battle flight?
Well, we had to sit in the aircraft awaiting them to send us off. Not that there was a war on, but it was a practice. Then did an aerobat...
What would you do? Just sit in the aircraft and they'd scramble?
Yes, then they'd scramble, yes. Anybody or preparing for a quick takeoff. And here we did we had the old cine camera practicing attacks on another aircraft. Squadron close formation, we did one of those. Then we did army support, attack some guns at Varn. Then I did dust landings at Varn, low-level tactical formation. Practice interceptions. Attacking the an army place near Monchereau. Then drop tank familiarization. We had the drop tanks fitted, and we had to get used to flying the aircraft with these drop tanks.
Now, can you explain about this? That's the first time you mentioned. Yes. What is a drop tank system?
Oh, it's extra fuel tanks carried in tanks which are hung underneath the aircraft. Or sometimes you have suspended under the fuselage. So it varies on from type to type of aircraft. But with
and
the van.
Did you have to be careful he dropped them? I'm just wondering about if you drop them anywhere, they might land on some.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes. You had a special area in which to drop them. Yeah.
And I presume they're greatly extending your range.
Oh, yes. 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 And did RP rocket projectile. We did some practice on rocket projectiles at a range at a place called Monchaux.
And could you talk a bit about the armour? Because we haven't actually talked about the armament. I mean,
the armament were 20 millimeter cannons.
So what are these rockets?
And then the rockets were hung underneath the aircraft, and you could fire them off, and they'd be under their own power and go for the target.
When you say go for the target, were they just fire, went straight, or
yeah, well, what you used to do was to point the aircraft at the target.
They didn't have any form of automatic guidance. They went straight at what you aimed them at.
Yeah.
And did it take a while to get used to that? Because I presume you'd not fired rockets before.
No. It didn't take long.
And how did you practice fire? Was it all on ground attack?
Yes, mainly.
It was cinema for in the air, I presume. Cinefilms.
Yeah, yes, and cinefilms. Yeah.
What sort of battle tactics? Was it still a classic fighter approach, or had tactics changed?
No, much. Very similar.
Now, one flight you have trouble is when you fly back to Selly. Oh, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but.
Yes.
On the 31st of October.
That's right. On the 31st of October, we went back to Selly, and I was leading the squadron. I don't know where Dickie de Berg, these. CO was, because I've signed here for him anyway, so he must have been on leave. Anyway, I led the squadron, he'd gone off. I was the senior flight commander, and I flew them. We had to go back to Selly, and there's 250 miles or thereabouts. And I always remember that day. We took off from Butzweilerhof, climbed up, and I'd briefed the chaps before we went. I said, right, we're going three flights of four, and one behind the other. I believe we've got to climb up through cloud, so in your own formation, stay close, but in your section formations, give plenty of room between sections. And I'll be in the lead section. So you follow me. And I took them up. There's quite a lot of cloud, and we went up to about 20,000 feet and flying in a northeasterly direction to Selly, which was let's see, how long was that flight now? 45 minutes, put file off to sell it. But I should never forget that, because we were above cloud, and we'd been above cloud for pretty well most of that 45 minutes. But after about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, I decided I was going to let down gradually, and because we couldn't see the ground. We've been above cloud all the time. And and we came down. We broke cloud at about 3,000 feet, and then straight ahead of me was Sella. I never called. Normally, you see, the chaps up there, they would have called for a homing. So and so blue six leader, or so, give me a homing for Sella, and then they come under the control of the ground control at Sella. I didn't call them at all. We flew straight over the airfield and we turned. I said, all right, prepare for landing. Landing in south sections. When we got down, these pilots, I said, how the bloody hell did you know where we were? How did you break cloud at just the perfect spot with Sella straight ahead of us? So I said, well, it's a bit of a thing called experience.
How had you done it? I mean,
well, experience. I looked at the map, checked the distance. I knew the wind direction, wind speed and direction. So, and I knew that if I steered this course, it should take me right there. And it did. And I came through the broke cloud, and there was Sella straight ahead.
Now, why hadn't you asked for a guide? You know,
because I felt pretty confident that I was going to find Sella all right.
You were going to show. How did you get on with the young pilots? Can you talk a bit?
Oh, very well.
Because they were 10 years younger than you and more.
Yeah.
What sort of a relationship did you have with them? Did they treat you as the old man, or what was it?
And funnily thing, about 2 weeks ago, these chaps, they had a reunion of the old timers from Germany. And they go to a pub south of Andover called the Mayfly, and I've been going there too. And although I was only with the squadron a short time, they always insist that I go to these reunions, which I do.
So what was it like then? What was the mess life like?
It was very good, very good.
Could you mix with them as equals, or did you mix?
Did you
have to sort of clear out when things got rough? Or
No. I stayed with them. And so much. But when I was there at Sella, Betty came over with Jane, my young daughter, who was about 6 or 7 years old then. And we went into a little place in Sella run by the Scottish equivalent of the Salvation Army. I forgot what they call themselves now. And we were there for about 3 weeks. And then we got a married quarter.
Now, we're interested, what did you think? You'd always had your own places, mainly had your own places. What were these German married quarters like, on the airfields?
Oh, they were very good. They weren't on the airfield, then Sella.
Sorry, but yeah. Well, I mean, what did it provide you? Was it furnished? What was the married
quarters? Yes. And I had two back women, two German back women, and we were well catered for. Yes, it's very good.
How did it compare to what you were used to in England? Better or worse?
Oh, I think in many ways it was better. I mean, we didn't have two back women in England.
And what about provision for your daughter? I mean, because we haven't mentioned your daughter. Was her daughter 6 years old yet?
Yeah.
What about her education? I mean, did that worry you?
They had English schools run by English teachers and staff for the children of the English people out there, and very very good schools they were too, and she did very well.
So she didn't miss out on education by postings like that.
No, if anything she gained, because she learnt to speak German, or a bit of German anyway, and more than us, my Benny and my wife. She, after a bit, was acting as our interpreter with our mates. Because she took it at school, they took German at school.
And what was the officer's mess like? And what sort of dues would you have on there?
Oh, I'd love it. It was a nice building and a nice mess. And we had quite a lot of functions there.
So what would did you have formal guest dinners?
Oh, yes.
So what would a formal guest dinner be like?
I had those periodically, about perhaps once a month. We called them dining in nights.
What would happen at a typical
one? Well, we'd have a few, get into mess kit, and have a few drinks in the anteroom and a few chats, and then go into dinner, usually dinner for 8 o'clock. So we'd probably meet 7:15, 7:30 in the anteroom, and then go through to dinner for 8 o'clock. And then very good dinner. Had quite a big German staff there doing all that.
How formal would the dinner be?
Oh yes, it was formal. Until afterwards, after the dinner was over, and we'd toasted the Queen and all the usual things, and then we'd adjourn to the anteroom, and then it got lively.
Now, in what way lively? Is this mess games and things?
Yeah.
So tell me about that.
Well, there were various mess games. There was high cockalorum.
What's that? People don't know what they are now.
Where you have one chap with the chap on his shoulders, and another, and then they go around in circles and trying to pull the chap off who's on top, pull him down. And yeah, they got really sorted out at times. what else? Gosh, I can't remember now. Oh, then there was another one where we had two bicycles with two chaps. One, another thing, chap on his shoulders, and one would be that side of the dining room, one would be the other. They're looking, and they go around there in ever decreasing circles until they get close and they try to knock the others off. That was one. What was another one? Oh, there were so many mess games. They had to put the sofas over, and they had to dive over the sofas head first. Quite lively. Good fun.
It sounds like you really enjoyed them.
Oh, yes.
Were there injuries?
One or two, yes.
Did they play mess rugby?
Not mess rugby.
How much drinking was there? That's the last one for today, I think. It's got a, what level of drinking? You were used to a fair bit of drinking in the past. I mean, were they hard drinking mess or not?
No. On parties, yes. They would have a light-hearted evening, and they'd have quite a bit to drink, but they wouldn't fall about all stupidly or anything like that. They were in good form. Yes.
So it was fairly it was drinking, but fairly responsibly done at special times, rather than the heavy drinking all the time.
Yeah, no, it wasn't heavy drinking. Yes, certainly people drinking all the time, but in a steady fashion.